This is the Talk of Fame Network on SB Nation Radio from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios. Here's Clark Judge, Rick Goslin, and Ron Borges.
Well, the Patriots' Devin McCourty has made an impact since the first day he entered the NFL 9 years ago as the Patriots' first draft pick. He's a two-time Super Bowl champ, two-time Pro Bowl selection for the past 5 years, one of the team's captains. But you know what? He's more than that. Devin has joined the recently created Players Coalition and is now serving as chairman of its Economic and Education Advancement Committee. Now, several weeks ago, Devin was one of the Patriots who lobbied the Massachusetts State Legislature to raise the age for juvenile prosecutions, helping to dislodge a bill for a vote that has been stuck and had been stuck in committee for months. So he's making a difference on and off the field, and he's here to talk about it today. Devin, thanks so much for joining us again.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
So Devin, when the this player movement for social change began, sort of in the wake of the national anthem controversy, did you have any idea it would turn into what it's become, both in terms of the controversy that began it and the actions that you and some of your fellow players have taken?
I wouldn't say exactly, but I thought the cool thing was you saw a lot of players wanting to make a real difference, and being able to link up with the Players Coalition, what Malcolm Jenkins and Anquan Boldin had already started, had been in the works. So just seeing the work they put in, you know, I think with the anthem and everything that happened, people didn't realize that, you know, work had been put in for like 2 years. So, you know, the anthem kind of brought to me the notoriety, what these guys are already doing. And I think we took advantage of it by doing some good things that actually help people, not just, you know, the protests and people talking about that, but now people have to talk about some of the good works that have been done in the community.
Devin, my understanding is that your consciousness was first raised to the kind of issues the players are trying to address after a shooting several years ago and a reaction from your brother, Jason. What happened?
Yeah, just, you know, I remember we were training for training camp out in Arizona. We were in the house with our wives and the kids, and just seeing, I think it was the shoot, I want to say it was Phil Castile, but I don't remember exactly what you said, that there's been so many. But watching that and, you know, just knowing that social media would get blown up with a ton of people doing messages and, you know, all of that. And I remember I was just sitting there like, you know, it'd be great if players or people with a platform can actually do something that would make a difference, not just, you know, get some type of hashtag going for, you know, an hour, 2 hours. And, you know, I think that's what we've kind of developed now, an opportunity for players to give back to these communities and create real change that will affect generations, you know, going forward in America.
Well, Devin, as I said in the introduction, you actually are getting things done. And I live in New England, and I know the Patriots aren't exactly known for getting involved in things that might be considered distracting, but you're in the middle of this and you're trying to get things done and make a difference. Has that been tough for you? I mean, how have you circumvented the waters between social activism and, let's say, the Patriot way?
I think it's aligned. You know, I think you just look through our roster, we have a ton of guys that are very active in, you know, you name any type of charitable thing, and you look at our owner, Mr. Kraft, and his family with Jonathan and the rest of the Kraft family. They have the New England Charitable Foundation that does a ton of work in helping people that are less fortunate, whether it be giving out turkeys at Thanksgiving time, whether it be different illnesses and sicknesses. You know, and I align that with the same thing this is. You know, we're helping communities and people that, you know, have disadvantages in our community and in our system. We're trying to spotlight that and make a change to it. So, honestly, you know, I think everyone from the Patriots has been very supportive, trying to get involved. And I think that kind of showed me, you know, what I was doing was the right thing, you know, and seeing the support and people wanting to be involved, I think it kind of inspired me to do more and get more involved and try to open, you know, the door for different people in our organization to be able to have a place and a platform to give back the way they want to. And you've seen that kind of opening happen. And, you know, Jonathan Kraft has been along with us to listen and learn, which he had a good time. He learned a lot. So just being a part of that has been awesome for me.
Well, Devin, so you mentioned Jonathan being with you at the one of the functions in Harvard Law School. I know you've been a couple of them. If you could tell us, the listeners, maybe a little bit of Jonathan's reaction and the reaction of you guys as well, which led to the efforts that you had with the legislature to change the age in which juveniles would be considered tried as criminals in Massachusetts. What sort of happened that day? What was said that sort of shocked everybody and led you guys to do what you've done?
Yeah, I would say the thing that kind of made everyone almost jump out of their seat, especially Jonathan, was just hearing, you know, that the juvenile age was 7 years old. You know, it was the earliest a kid could be introduced to our juvenile system. And hearing that, and just think about a seven-year-old having to be dragged into court and have some type of record, shocked us all. And then, you know, as we dove deeper and talked to more of the experts, we kind of learned, you know, even though the low age was seven, you know, kids still 10, 11, were the ones who really were thrown in the system and had to deal with this. And that kind of really made us want to go to legislation and talk to legislators about raising that age to 12 years old and try to give these kids a chance of some type of rehabilitation that doesn't involve, you know, being in juvenile system. And, you know, it was awesome. I thought Troy Brown told some very good stories just about his upbringing. That I think had a lasting effect on everyone that heard it. So just seeing, you know, our ability to go and speak for different people in the community that felt the same way that we felt and using our platform was huge. And, you know, it felt like it made a difference.
How did the politicians react to you guys? I mean, do you think if it had been just, you know, a half a dozen community activists as opposed to a number of Patriot players, that you would have had the same reaction in terms of moving that bill out of committee?
Probably not, and, you know, I say that just from talking to different activists. That was what they told us. You know, I think the thing that was important to all of us in the coalition was to sit down with the activists and learn from their expertise and the work that they've been putting in for their whole careers. And we've been educated that way, and from sitting down and talking to them, they talked about what a difference it was with us coming there and getting that bill passed along on the floor. So, you know, just our presence, you know, helped. And I think that's something that we got to continue to do, you know. And I think we all said that while we were there that, you know, this was a good start and we wanted to be involved and that we would have no problem coming back to the state offices. So the politicians seemed very open talking to us. But, you know, like anything, you want to see the change and see what happens in the future.
Devin, recently Houston Texans owner Bob McNair said, quote, "Our playing fields are not the place for political statements." How does that jibe with playing the national anthem, unfurling 100-yard flags, and having military flyovers weekend after weekend? Are there two sets of rules there?
Yeah, I think the key thing is that's not even a rule. You know, there's nothing that stops us as players from doing kind of anything that we want to do out there as far as when we're out there, how we represent ourselves, it's under, we have a ton of league rules that we have to follow that come in our handbook. And as long as we do that, I think there's no problem, you know, to say that that's not the place. I think we all found out over these last 2 years that it's definitely the place because guys have got a lot of things done with protesting on the field and standing up for what they believe in and using that platform of millions of people watching, thousands of people in attendance at the game. And I think now people that actually care about what we're talking about and trying to listen and learn to what we're saying, I think they're even blown away by some of the statistics that are coming out and realizing that they need to get involved in that. Like we all been saying from the beginning, this has nothing to do with our military. We all, you know, strongly support our military and very thankful for what they do. And I think people now have dove into it. So every time one of these owners says something that doesn't really make sense, I think it spotlights the work that we're doing and gives people opportunity to check out the real thing.
We're speaking to Patriots defensive back Devin McCourty on the Talk of Fame Network, and you can find us on the web at talkoffamenetwork.com or on Twitter at Talk of Fame Net. And Devin, sort of following on that, you know, one of the ideas that's been floated out there was something that Mike Tomlin tried last year in Pittsburgh, and that's to keep the teams in the locker room during the playing of the national anthem as it used to be years ago. What do you think about that?
I think that's up to each individual. You know, I think the truth is that time before the game is kind of different for each guy, you know, how you decide to get ready for the game, you know, whether you decide to protest or not protest. I think all of that plays a factor. I think the one thing when they did that, they talked about they wanted to do what they felt was best as a team. So I don't think there's a right or a wrong when it comes to that. I think that's just something that teams in the NFL are trying to deal with. I think for us, it's more important about the issues, not like the anthem's not the issue to us. And I think if teams decide to do it, or the NFL does that, you know, that doesn't change how we view what we need to do in communities and the change that we need in America. That doesn't change because we've been saying, like, the anthem has nothing to do with anything that we're trying to do. It just was a platform that we tried to put a spotlight on different people going through things that we felt just wasn't fair.
One thing I'm wondering about whether this is going to become an issue for the Players Coalition is this situation of Colin Kaepernick and Eric Reed. They both remain without jobs, as you know. And, you know, you've known me a long time, Devin. I'm kind of old school, bottom line guy. Teams can tell me all they want that there's no boycott, but I don't believe it. You know, these guys working, and both of them were pretty successful players. Do you guys in the coalition have any plans to try to do anything to try to help those guys or that situation? Because it would seem to me, if this continues, there'll be a chilling effect that's going to, I would think, make it difficult for the Players Coalition to do what they hope to do.
Yeah, I think all of us have spoken out about that as far as when asked our true opinion of, like you just said, Ron, that we feel like those guys are being blackballed, you know, and it's hard to prove that. Like, you can't just come and, you know, I think everyone thinks that, but you can't just, there's nothing you can do to prove that. But I think speaking about it and not being silent is definitely something that, you know, we're doing when asked about it and the opportunities we get to talk about it. But as far as the coalition, I think that was something that Malcolm mentioned months ago back during the season when trying to bring all the players together, was that we needed to realize that if it stayed small groups of guys that wanted to, you know, raise awareness and protest, that the NFL would find a way to get all of those guys out the league. And we knew as a group, the Players Coalition, the stronger it was as far as numbers of players that want to be involved, you know, then the league couldn't just get rid of us. You know, that would be too hard to do. So we continue to try to build with the players that want to be involved and speak out. And there's many different roles you can have in the Players Coalition. But our true belief is, you know, their strength in numbers. And I think that's something that we realize as players. Obviously, you know, I'm going to my ninth year. You know, it would be nothing for a team to say, you know, let's not use this veteran safety. Or a guy like Malcolm, who's also is going to his 10th year. So we want to keep it fresh. We want to get new guys in there, young guys, everyone who wants to be involved. And we want them to know, you know, as long as we remain strong as a coalition, you know, there's nothing that they can do to hurt us. Because when you look at the facts, you know, what we're trying to do is help people. And, you know, the things that we're helping are wrong. And I think we'll all continue to do that.
Hey, Devin, thanks so much for the time. Best of luck with the Players Coalition. Sounds like you're off to a pretty good start.
Oh, I appreciate that. Thank you guys for having me on and allowing me to talk.
You got
thanks,
it.
Devin. Sure.
Thank
you.
Thanks, Devin. Appreciate it. That was Patriots defensive back Devin McCourty. Up next, it's 2-Minute Drill.